Don't miss one Hell's Gate!
It's on the way. Plenty of leg. Good!
It's football time in the Bluegrass. You're listening to the KSR Football Podcast.
Welcome into the KSR Football Podcast, brought to you by our good friends at Justice Dental. It's getting cold out. There's a lot of we had to do the new insurance thing. They take plenty of forms of insurance. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, you don't got to worry about a thing at Justice Dental. Two locations, one in Blazer, one in Wellington, either side of town, very convenient. The biggest convenience is just it's your one-stop shop. You don't got to go all over the place. You don't need a root canal. You don't need to travel somewhere else. You don't need to do all that sort of deal. They'll take care of you at Justice Dental. Just go ahead and visit them online. You can schedule your appointment by visiting justicedental.com. That's justice, like, law and order, justice.
Yeah, justice.
They're giving your teeth justice. Justice Dental. That's not the saying.
They should use that.
They should, though. It's a great saying. And you can give them a call at 859-543-0700 at Justice Dental. Nick Roush here with Freddie Maggard, Charles Walker, Andrew Franklin. Freddie, you look a little sore.
Your screen is dirtier than mine, and I thought mine was the dirtiest. Ooh.
Mine's pretty bad, too. I don't know if you can get the angle.
Look at Nick's. I mean, this is great.
Mine's filthy.
Oh, yeah.
It's disgusting. Pretty bad, too. Yeah, yeah.
These are working computers.
You look like you've been driving behind a coal truck.
Yeah, how you doing, though, Freddie? You look a little
I am sore. Worked out in my six-hour trip to Middlesbrough. I get sore when I work out and go on long car rides. I'm getting old.
You didn't make the trip in a coal truck, though, did you?
No, but, you know, I would have. It's a good trip.
Yeah.
They were great hosts.
The Yellow Jackets
won,
right?
The press box was awesome.
Freddie loves the hometown press conference.
I do.
Press boxes.
I do. That's a lot of fun for me to sit in a hometown press box. But Jordan Ferguson, is that her name?
Yeah, Middlesbrough kicker.
Yeah, sang the
all-time
national anthem.
Scorer.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah, came up in the press box in her uniform and sang the national anthem. So.
I feel like we don't do that enough. Like, last week, Marlena Van Hoos is great. She's my favorite. But maybe one week we just, you know, let Justin Rigg come up and sing with all his pads on.
I think that would be great.
Man, it was pretty great watching Kentucky just do whatever the hell they wanted to on offense Saturday. Really do everything except just take care of the ball, which is kind of the name of the game this year for this team. It's pretty crazy. If you look at the turnover stats, Drew, at like the rankings – mm-hmm. It's just Kentucky and a malaise of bad football teams. Like Arizona.
The record does not match.
Florida. Yeah, every other team down there is just terrible. And then here you have Kentucky in the mix. They're still finding ways to win. You were standing next to me when I asked Liam Cohen about Chris Rodriguez fumbles. Mm-hmm. I didn't know if he wanted to punch me in the face, stab himself. Like you could just feel he was just like, the fumbles.
Yeah, and he had no answer. He's like, what do you want me to say? He's fumbling. I mean, it happened. I don't know what to tell you. Like, what do you want me to go in there and tell him not to fumble again? He knows. He knows what he's doing. It's happening.
And it just the part, too, that really, really hits you even harder in the groin, too, Charles, is, like, fumbling inside the five. It's like you're getting ready to score in your it's the Charlie Brown Lucy deal, you know? She's just pulling the football out from under him.
Yep, couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more. I think we talked about the 36 points and if that was too much or what we were doing. And, God, it looked like we could have won that game by 60.
Could have named
the
score.
If we wanted to.
Yeah.
If we wanted to.
Yeah. And watching Will Levis just kind of get after it a little bit, you know, he's got I think the word's drive. I think that's the right word where he's just like.
There was one of those scrambles that – their safety was about 2 yards behind the first down, as in 2 yards behind the first down. I'll say that. And instead of, you know, a safety wanting to come up and tackle a quarterback like you'd think they'd want to, 12 was just sitting there waiting for Levis to come and bulldoze him. And I loved every second of it. But, I mean, like you said, he's got that drive, and that's the kind of player he is. I think that's the kind of player the fans like to see, because that we know that that kind of turns him on, and then he's ready to go. Yeah. He needs that hit.
It was right after that fumble, too. It was just like, here's the bounce back. Just let him go lower his shoulder against somebody.
But, a safety can't wait to take a lick on a quarterback, typically. Well, not when you got, what, 6'4", 240? Is that where he –
6'4"?
6'4", 240? Is that kind of where he is?
Cruising down the street and by 6'4".
Yeah, 6'4".
Oh, man. I also like the Will Levis play where it's just let's throw it and the receiver breaks a tackle and then runs really far, Freddie. It's a good play.
Yeah, it's good play for the quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of throw the football, let the receivers do the work. But, yeah, 459 yards passing was really good for Kentucky. 248 on the ground. I liked Kentucky averaged first down every time they snapped the football, which is really good. 29 first downs for the game. But defensively, there were some statistics that jumped at me as well. Six pass breakups, Charles.
There we go.
I'm not focused. And a pick six was really good. I like, but to me, I mean, what jumped at me was how the second and third team defensive players looked faster than the first team guys.
Oh.
They didn't know where they were going half the time, but they were flying and moving around. That encouraged me. Uh-huh. I was really impressed by Khalil Saunders. He popped at me as far as moving, and it was great to see Derek Jackson back there.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I was so fired up for that
kid.
Yeah,
me too.
Because that's a tough injury, an Achilles, and to come back so quickly and to get that satisfaction, to get that pop, you know.
And I think
one of the biggest hits of the game, I think.
That was awesome.
And we got a good sense of what Trevin Wallace can be and is going to be. Five tackles, quarterback sack, pass breakup, forced fumble, in limited time because there's a lot of linebackers running through there. I really like the youth, but it was a great way. Saturday was a great send-off to the seniors. Justin Rigg with two touchdowns, which was great. Josh Alley, his
two catches,
biggest game.
Two touchdowns.
Yeah, two catches, two touchdowns. Josh Alley, biggest game yet, two touchdowns, 164 yards receiving. That was good to see.
62-yard touchdown, too. I didn't know he had it in him. Wandale, though, man, if that dude – it's almost like if you could how close can you get to scoring without scoring? I think he could be the best of the best.
Yeah, I mean, he and Ali still had between them 15 catches and over 300 yards, which for this program, I don't know the numbers on that, but that probably hadn't happened often. And
that's
then Wandale really just about 5 yards from adding two touchdowns.
Maybe even three, because he had the one where he went out of bounds.
Yeah, I thought they gave him a bad spot on that one, too. So he was even closer.
That was a great catch, too, by the way.
It's a great catch, but, God, it should have just been a
touchdown.
Levis put it too close
to the sideline, but then you had the 79-yarder. He just kind of ran out of steam at the end, and then that was the Chris fumble right after it. But
another number I liked was 10 quarterback hurries. KD McDaniel had three, which was that's good to see that.
A
lot of good defensive numbers. New Mexico State was averaging, 264 passing? What'd they get? 181, so held them below their season average in passing and total yards, kept them out of the end zone. The second quarter was aggravating. But the second half, three first downs for the entire second half? Pretty much shut them down.
You mentioned KD McDaniel too, Freddie. He was one of those that I kind of worried about at the beginning of the year, but – I think he's grown through the kind of trial by fire with, wanting to kind of hold J.J. back some, Jordan Wright getting hurt. So Wright is expected to be back this week, though, so we might not see a whole lot of KD McDaniel. No offense, KD. I would just much rather see Jordan Wright. I'd like to see him get after Mikael Cunningham,
And he's been fine this year, but I thought this was going to be a huge year for Jordan Wright. So, I hope, one more game we can get something really good out of him.
Yeah, definitely. I wanted to mention a few more things about the New Mexico State game. I'm not going to lie, though. I'm kind of drawing a blank, Drew.
Just the game overall?
I just hate Louisville so much, and I just want to talk
about
how much I hate
them. It's right here. It's no longer looking ahead. It's here now. That's why it took minutes after the game, as you know, we're in there asking questions, and it's mostly Louisville. There wasn't a whole lot of tell me what worked today. It was already tell me what's on your mind about the rivalry week.
Oh, man. And so you get a lot of ends of the spectrum too, Charles, which you know pretty – I mean, you have the Trolls Walkers, the I grew up in the city, and I'm ready to kick their ass.
Yep.
And then you have the exact opposite, which is like Quandre Mosley, who's – oh, I didn't watch him play. I saw one of my friends got an interception for him, so I was happy. But yeah, we're gonna beat him. You know, like no, yeah. Like just it's good.
As a matter of fact,
yeah, like it's just I love the spectrums from it. I also love Wandale taking a shot at him too. Like
that was good.
They didn't recruit me, so like if you want to be, if you're a good player, you know where to go. So
yeah, looking right at the camera and saying it.
Do the guys in that locker room, Charles, that aren't from Louisville, do they latch onto it pretty quickly?
I think they do, and Stoops and the staff do a good job of, you know, explaining the history and maybe showing a couple videos on previous years and why, you know, this is a rivalry. And, you know, let's be honest, some of the Louisville fans just not the most likable people. So if you can shove it down their throat as well as the opposing team, you know, you got to love that.
Man, so here, I would like to start a seminar course. This can be our segment for this week, Freddie. Mm-hmm. How to learn to hate Louisville, okay? I think when you're teaching this class, too, it starts with a picture of Bobby Petrino just at the front of the classroom. You show
neck
Bobby,
brace or no neck brace?
It helps if you want to imagine it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. We can start with a neck brace, okay. And then okay. We get right after that. Ooh, you show that after the pick of – Brez walking with him,
yeah,
right?
That's an iconic photo.
Yeah, because then, and then also, like, you know, you might trick him into thinking, like, ooh, maybe that's how he got in the neck brace was because Brez was holding him by the neck. Ignore the Arkansas stuff. Really.
We're writing our own storyline here.
Yes, yes.
But curveball, it wasn't Brez. It was Denzel Ware's trash can.
So, yes, we include that. We also need to dig down deep and find the tape of Luke Fortner getting ejected.
Yeah, I'm with you. I didn't know that happened in real time.
I didn't, and I may have, but it just kind of.
You want to talk about shocks? I was on the sideline for that game. And when that happened, I mean, everybody was just floored and laughing because it's Luke, you know? Of any player, Charles, could you imagine Luke Fortner being ejected?
No, that's a Logan Stenberg job. Right? Not a Luke Fortner.
That's
not
who I was standing beside of. Yeah. Logan. And we were both like, okay.
And it was on a PAT.
Yeah.
Of all, like.
Well, that's what you want. You want heart on every single snap, even if it is only
true.
One point.
In the fourth quarter of a 40-point blowout.
Yeah.
But that is one, too. Apparently, the footage has been lost to the archives. It's just
man, he must have done something bad then.
Like, it's not – like, you don't see it anywhere. You can't find it. So, that
I'll do some digging.
Yeah. Well, might have to do some extensive research from that game because I would love to see Luke Fortner give him the 1-2.
Might have to Mission Impossible into the facility over there, into the film room, and get the all 22.
Man, Jeff Badette did a little 1-2, but he did the, like, wah, wah, and then, like, back up real quick.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I don't know how much actual – contact or fists were being thrown. The favorite thing that I think everybody needs to know about hating Louisville, I'm talking to you freshmen out there who don't know this, is that not only are they the worst, but they're the worst losers. Mm-hmm. The worst kind of losers. They always come up with some sort of an excuse. There's L's down, hurt my feelings. So what you have to remember is that they're going to make excuses. Last time, they made their excuses days after. They said, oh, well, our tum-tums hurt. And when I told everybody before the game, like, oh, they've got some players with some sore tum-tums, I was fake news Nick. And then when they lost by 35, their fans were like, oh, but actually, their bellies hurt.
Yeah, there was a stomach very school.
Oh, well, it turns out it's Monday. Scott Satterfield's letting everybody know, our bellies hurt. They're really bad. We're already sick over here, so just don't get mad when we lose.
They set it up.
They're the worst losers. And you know what? Right now, they believe.
Really? Hmm? That happened today?
Today, yeah. Yeah. He's sick. Already – they've been sick.
Oh,
which,
I didn't know that.
Which actually, yep. Like, it could be why Omar got sick. I don't know. They might just need a different cook over there. Is that where
– I mean, there was mold in the stadium.
That's
I mean,
probably what they were cooking
wasn't like
with.
There was just mold in that one spot. I'm sure it's spreading everywhere.
And just living in mold. My goodness, that place. Just, it's a factory of awfulness. You thought it might have cleaned its act up when they got Papa John's out of there.
Yeah.
But no, no.
Looks like you can get in there, though, if you'd like this week.
Yeah, they have tickets. There's tickets available.
Yep. They have tickets, and their fans hate Scott Satterfield, and then they love him, and then they hate him, and then they love him. Mm-hmm. And now if they win, they love him, and when they lose, they hate him. Again, it goes back to the fan base. I can't get behind it. You know, they're not not ride or dies,
No, not ride or dies.
And let's be honest, their Twitter fingers are terrible. They serve beer there, and they end up getting with fights in each other. I mean, I don't know what's going on at that stadium.
What's remarkable, too, Charles, is they serve beer, yet they still drink beer from garbage bags. I mean,
I watched that video this morning.
You have perfectly fine beers. Why do you need to drink it out of a trash can?
Well, because earlier in the year, I had some friends attend a game, and they said they literally missed the entire second quarter of the game because they were waiting in line to get
beer. That's why. That's why they drink.
That's why they drink.
They just go right for the trash can because they know there might be some
in that trash bag and just get all that out of there.
Mm, that's like the old bar tab shot, bar slab or whatever. Is that the
bar mat?
Bar mat. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Man.
Mark Stoops shouted out the alcohol at Papa Murphy's Cardinal Stadium today in his press conference.
He did. They were asked about the effects of it, which he got asked. I don't know when the last time y'all played him at night was, and it was the last time they played at the stadium. So I thought that was kind of
funny. He
doesn't
have to remember stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
He remembers wins and losses, not what time of day it was.
Well, no, so that was how somebody prefaced the question.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and Mark said, you know, they serve alcohol there, so, you know, it'll get a little rowdy. I think it will be a relatively rowdy crowd, but I don't think it's possible to sell out that stadium. It's like a pit of fans. And if it gets close to a sellout, they're just going to stay in the parking lot and drink the whole time. I'm wondering what the mood will be before the game. Because Thursday night, Freddie, I was watching Louisville play the worst defense in the history of Power 5 football. I mean, at least Vanderbilt tried to tackle. Like Duke, they want to know. My Duke could have played for that Duke and tackled better than they did. We practice tackling quite often, actually, at the Roush House. That Duke team wanted no part of tackling, and the Louisville fans, I was playing cards, but they were having a good time. But they still weren't that optimistic, though. Like there was, you know, I think the most optimistic fan I got was 50-50. So I'm wondering how that's going to translate into a turnout.
I think there's going to be a lot of blue in there. I don't know, man. I'm getting the exact opposite from a lot of UK people. Not UK official people, but fans.
UK fans being like, well, I don't know. This Malik Cunningham, Malik Cunningham's pretty good.
A lot that I've talked to have already conceded that, you know, it's 8-4, and what are we going to do after that?
And that's such a loser mindset. Yeah. Like
I love how we now strive for absolute perfection. Like, the people that were disappointed that they didn't score 80 last week, I know they could have without the turnovers, but I wasn't mad that they only scored 56.
The one that killed me was the Levis interception where it's like he's just trying to – like he's like 30 yards out, like, I'm going to go for the end zone, damn it.
Yeah, and he's like, showing off at that point.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, so you can get mad at an aggressive – like, no. Some of the – I don't understand some of that kind of like wanting to – I don't know if it's a defense mechanism where it's like, we're going to put this – Mikael Cunningham's going to run all over us. It's going to be bad. I just don't understand that mindset when you've beaten them the last two times by a combined 76 points.
Yeah.
76 points.
I mean, I'm probably too confident. Like, when that line came out –
78. I don't know. I can't – it's hard to count
actually
that many numbers.
Is it 79? It's in the 70s.
It's a lot of points.
It's more than it should be for a rivalry.
It's a lot of points.
I'm probably a little overconfident. I've been hating on them all year, as is tradition. But I still just think that even though their offense is great, I think Kentucky's going to be able to do whatever they want offensively as long as we're not trying to force it in windows 30 yards down the field.
And as much too, Charles, as they – as Kentucky fans see, like, oh, man, they've played good the last few weeks. Louisville's lost a lot of games they should have won. They should have beat Clemson. They were – I want to say they've blown three double-digit leads in the fourth quarter this year. In two of those, about 18 points or more, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's a lot. And no, they were outscored 18-0 twice in fourth quarters.
There you go.
That's what I had confused. The other time it was 13-0. Satterfield actually could have done a good job this year, but instead they're sitting at 6 wins because they're very good at falling apart in the fourth quarter. They're very good about running up the score against bad teams, and they're very good at scoring points against bad defenses. Which you see a lot of in the ACC, Freddie. There's not a lot of high-quality football played in that conference.
Yeah, Duke was giving up 500 yards a game before last Thursday.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. Yeah, it's a lot. So
this will be the second best defense they played besides Clemson, right?
Yeah.
As much as you want to be down on UK's defense.
Still a top five defense in the SEC.
Yeah.
I mean, ranked fifth in total defense. So, yeah, I mean, it's up there. But I think, you know, Malik Cunningham is trending upwards nationally.
Yeah.
He's getting a lot of – which he should. I mean, you can't dispute 500 yards or whatever he had against Duke. So, but, yeah, I think that's got a lot of folks concerned. And I think the predictors of the game, the Vegas and FPIs and all that,
yeah,
I think are valuing Louisville's losses more than UK wins.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I
mean, that's just the way. That's the only reason that I would have to make any sense of the point spread and the predictions is because, again, that, you know, valuing the losses that Louisville had and not giving Kentucky credit for the 8 wins.
Mm-hmm.
The team total in Las Vegas is Kentucky 27 points. Am I crazy for hammering that this morning?
No.
27 points for the University of Kentucky
Wildcats.
They scored
that in the first half.
What does that mean?
That
it's basically the over-under just for Kentucky, not the game. 27.
And that's called the team total?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Louisville's was like 29.
They could get that in a half.
I'm learning a lot this year.
Yeah. But am I crazy for thinking it's likely they score 28 or more?
No.
I jumped on that.
I can get the overall total being like 56 or something because both teams value possessions. Like, yeah, I could see it not – like it, they're not going to be like a – Louisville will score on big plays, but this isn't like a high tempo. We're going to throw it all the time. Like both teams like to run the football, and I can see it that being a lower scoring game from that aspect. And I think that's something that you've got to remember about this Louisville football team too. When it comes to defending Cunningham, Kentucky's pretty good at its run fits against running quarterbacks on design quarterback runs. Mm. But when a scramble happens, Freddie, just all hell breaks loose.
Yeah, I think that's why McCall is going to play a big role because while he won't get to the quarterback as a nose tackle, that's hard to do in a pass rush, but he will occupy two blockers and space in the middle, so Cunningham won't be able to run straight up the middle, which is very dangerous in passing situations. If you make him – force him to bounce outside and use the sideline as the 12th defender, that would be good for Kentucky. But – again, back to the predictors, Louisville's had one turnover in the past 4 games, Kentucky minus 14 on the season.
Man.
I think that factors into it. But that's something, you know, we'll get into the keys of the game or whatever in a minute. But Kentucky cannot turn the football over. Possessions are going to count so much in this game. Whoever turns it over first may lose the football game. You never know because these offenses, both offenses have the capability to score every time they got the ball.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And they're good at sitting on the ball too. You know, if you want to chew up some clock, go ahead, salt it away. Well, kind of. I mean, I mentioned earlier, we'll put a bunch of leads. I think the key to that, though, Drew, I guess Louisville's strategy going into this game, you can't blow a big lead if you never have a big lead. So
no, and – I mean, the Kentucky defense has been going the wrong way this last few weeks, but I see they're capable of stepping it up in this particular game and slowing Louisville down. They're not going to shut them down by any means, but I just think the Kentucky defense is much more likely to slow down Louisville's offense than vice versa.
Yep.
I think, as Freddie alluded to, the way you shut down Kentucky's offense is you just force a turnover.
Yeah, but hopefully we're not, you know, forcing things, and Stoops has kind of got them reeled in on all of that. Rodriguez, my goodness, just bear hug the ball as tight as you can in the red zone.
And it's going to be 27 degrees.
Yeah.
That's advantage Kentucky.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All them Florida kids on Louisville's roster. Charles, I do love seeing all of the Florida kids wearing their sleeves and stuff.
So do I. It's a sign of, well, I don't want to say it.
We just say it. Just say it.
Weakness.
Yeah,
sign of weakness.
Yeah, there you go.
Did you wore sleeves though, didn't you?
No.
Oh, there
was Walker when you caught in sleeves.
Caught all right, I'm taking this off. I'm done.
Hey, you're St. X Tigers.
St. X Tigers looking good.
They gonna win a state championship?
They might just mess around and win a state championship.
Oh, Freddie says no.
Freddie doesn't know. Jack Savory leading us to the promised land.
You got to play Male again.
Well, no, we got to play the winner of Trinity Male.
You got to get past Madison Central.
That's true.
Oh,
well, we
Mr. One Game.
Well, we did
time
play
here.
Davies County, what, whose quarterback had like 4,000 yards.
Joe
and
Humphries.
Put a nice little whooping on him. So,
yeah.
I think the boys are buzzing at the right time of the year, Freddie Maggs.
Could be.
Franklin County, them Fires are fine, too, at the right time. They were a little rocky there for a little while.
Corbin went down.
Man, they got beat bad.
Central had 496 rushing yards.
How do you go? You know what Johnson Central's going
to
do?
It's hard to stop it, man. I'm telling you, I saw them. When were we down there? 3 weeks ago?
Something like that.
And
yeah.
I was like, well, look out, 4A. Here they come.
Grant Bingham just.
Another team to shout out. We focus on Eastern Kentucky in this area, but over in Russellville, Coach Mikey Benton, former UK defensive back, he's got Russellville playing well. They won 21-0.
Yep.
Moving on to the semifinals.
And the Paducah-Tillman Tornadoes.
The Blue Tornado.
Is that their, that's their logo?
Yeah,
the Blue
back.
Tornado. Tillman Tornado. They
7-6 right now.
7-6 in the quarter. That is – it's impressive. 7-6 and playing on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. And the Kroger KSR game of the week.
Yeah.
Owensboro at Frederick Douglass.
And Gavin I love Wimsett, a game of the week in my backyard.
Gavin Wimsettless Red Devils in the Final Four. They're back. That game – went down to the wire last year.
28-27.
Was it a missed field goal?
Yes.
It was a missed field goal sent Owensboro to state championship. Douglas won the year before. So, well, part three.
Oh, what time? Do you know what time they're playing that? Is it at 6:30?
6 o'clock.
They're at 6?
Yes.
I might have to sneak over there before
Let me know
the basketball game. Actually, yeah, if it's starting at 6, I can pull off.
I have KSR press passes.
There we go. I can pull off the Frederick Douglass Rupp Arena UK basketball doubleheader. I got that.
That should be a good game.
Gavin Wimsett went to Rutgers.
He played last week.
Owensboro's averaging 48 points a game.
Even without him.
Without him.
Good for those guys. And especially – I'm not going to say you're going to pack it up because your gal left, but you could understand if those guys were just like, well, screw this. But no, they're still – they're busting heads. And you know what I'm still doing, Drew?
What's that?
Catching tickets with my bookie.
I wish I was. I'm paying my bookie right now. Well, glad you're winning.
Yeah, because I'm not betting on your Tennessee Titans.
Oh,
my goodness.
Actually, I bet on the Texans yesterday. But
just don't get too filled up on Turkey Day because – there's a feast of games this week, and I mean that quite literally. Feast week, college basketball is happening. I got an app notification at 12:30 that said, close game or UConn South Carolina
awesome?
Women's basketball.
Gosh, this is such a great week.
Oh, man. There's like I think Dickie V is coming back for UCLA Gonzaga.
Yeah. That's a quick comeback for Dickie V.
Yeah, I know.
I could slow him down.
Just giving lymphoma a good 1-2 and coming back. And then that's not even mentioning. We've got the Egg Bowl on Thursday, which, by the way,
Ole Miss minus -1.
We got to be.
Oh my goodness!
We are all the Big Blue Nation is behind Ole Miss.
Of course,
we need the Lane train to prevail to ensure that Kentucky is potentially eating sirloin steaks and blooming onions on New Year's Day. So keep that in mind when you're playing with my bookie. Go to mybookie.ag right now. Put your first deposit in, use the promo code KSR, and they will double your initial deposit all the way up to $1,000. Yeah, that's right. Back to doubling your deposit.
It's because I gave them all that money. Now they can go spread it around everybody signing up.
It's Mississippi State minus -1, sorry.
Are you kidding me? I'm betting that right now.
Yep.
Yes, you're betting it.
On MyBookie.
I'm on the website right now. You can see it.
I'm betting it
right now.
MyBookie.ag. No risk, all gravy. Oh, yeah, and also they're doing something great, too, on Thanksgiving. $250 risk-free bet Thursday afternoon when the Dallas Cowboys host the Vegas Raiders. So you're betting on the Cowboys, right, and not the Raiders? Like, why would you bet the Raiders?
Yeah, why would you?
Yeah.
Go
so,
Cowboys.
Gosh, man, that is just – get in on that. That is a heck of a deal over at MyBookie.ag. Use the promo code KSR, double your deposit, and roll in the winnings with MyBookie. Man, I'm excited for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, just give me all the football.
The food.
I had my Cane's giving yesterday, so I'm still a little full. You ever had Raising Cane's for breakfast? Because I have. Guess what? Had it for lunch, too. I'm on a roll.
Wow.
Going into Thanksgiving with a stomach that's ready to go.
So you ordered a little too much Cane's?
It was my year hosting. It rotates. It's my first year, and I overshot the order by quite a bit. I got 100. I got 100 piece, and we didn't even need half that probably.
Oh, wow.
So now I'm continuing to eat it all the way up until turkey season.
It's a great. They have great sauce.
I also overshot on the toast. Another great leftover.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of made a sandwich with the chicken and the toast.
Did we? We did this show a year ago, and Drew, did you buy the turkey that was too big?
Oh, way too big.
Okay, yeah.
I had to throw it away. Yeah. Did I ever give the final update?
No, you
didn't
never
even
did.
Get to use it.
No.
I mean, you can't, like, just microwave it to thaw it. So I gave it a few days thinking it would thaw, but it was just too big.
It just never thawed out.
It was like Thanksgiving morning, and it never stood a chance. I had to go get another turkey. But I've learned my lesson. I haven't gotten it yet for this week. Probably should do that soon. What's today?
Tuesday. Monday.
Yeah, I should probably get a turkey.
Yeah, I'm in charge of mashed potatoes this year. That's easy, you know. Potatoes, milk, salt, pepper.
You got that.
Yeah. Charles, are you going somewhere exotic for Thanksgiving?
You got a wedding?
I'm not. Nope, no wedding. Going to be in my parents' house. They just finished a nice back porch with a big old flat screen television and a fireplace. And
nice.
Sister and brother-in-law are coming up from Nashville with my niece, Margaret, and my brother and sister who live in Louisville are bringing their baby boy, Boone, over.
Ooh,
and we are
I like that name
frying a turkey and smoking a turkey and eating and not doing anything all day
frying
long.
Frying and smoking?
Yep.
What about a hot dog review? Can we get one of those?
We can probably give. He's more of a kielbasa guy when it gets a little cooler.
Yeah,
but
this season.
He's. I've been on him to get another one. Maybe that'll be the Louisville Cardinal game. Maybe we'll get a hot dog there.
There you go.
Man, I'm excited though. It's gonna be.
I love Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays. The gravy, mashed potatoes, turkey, just eating. I could eat that all day long. Stuffing's great. It's all great. I'm not a big fan of the desserts necessarily. You know, like your pecan pie and your apple pies. I get it, but I'll eat it. Turkey and gravy. You can't beat it.
Turkey is the worst part of Thanksgiving.
I disagree with that.
Now, a smoked turkey is different too, Freddie. I think turkey's actually better like 3 days later. It's better as a leftover.
It's nice on
like a thick cut turkey sandwich is really good, but like just regular old like turkey and gravy, it's just
But when you have the trio of gravy, turkey, and mashed potato in one bite,
I got to separate my food.
Really? Yeah. Oh, I mix it.
I'm
all
like
up.
Sheldon. I have
I
to.
I mix it all up.
I can't have my food touching each other.
I'm a big. I used to be that way, not touching each other, but I would eat one thing at a time. Mm. Now I'm just like. Put it all in the pot, scoop it up, put it in my mouth. It's going to be great.
Deviled eggs are a big hit.
Oh, man.
I could eat a million of them.
Yeah, me too.
I stay away.
I'll eat a dozen.
I was just looking at the football schedule. There's some good games Thursday and Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I forget about Friday. There's so many, too.
Oh, yeah, they do sneak some in on Friday.
Oh, there's a
We've
lot.
We've got Arkansas, LSU, or no. Who's
Missouri.
Arkansas, Missouri, yep.
Iowa, Nebraska. We got the Texas Longhorns, probably going to lose again.
Did you all see the the obituary from Nebraska?
I did.
I did not.
Oh, it's
was it about their football program?
Yes.
The grim reality of the Nebraska Cornhuskers finishing yet another season with a losing record proved to be too much to bear for Milton Andrew Munson, who decided he'd seen enough of this world during the team's recent bye week. The Huskers may not have sent him into the afterlife with a victory, but at least they didn't lose. And sometimes that's the best you can hope for.
Mm.
He also said, in lieu of sending flowers, please place an irresponsibly large bet on Nebraska beating Iowa. Oh man, love it! Love
but
it.
Really,
college
Thanksgiving's
football.
About hating Louisville. It became that when the
getting
game
together with your friends and family and just really hating on Louisville.
It used to be hating on Tennessee this week, right?
We
got tired of that, moved them out of the way, and focused on our closer relatives, our little brothers down the street.
And the thing too that I'm going to end up encountering as well is the kind of well, y'all are probably going to get us. It's not going to be fun. I just want them – I think that they did enough beating bad teams to get their fans confident enough to talk some trash to me on Thanksgiving, but that's something that we've kind of missed. We haven't gotten a lot of it. And frankly, I need that back and forth, Charles. I need, the cousin coming in and, oh, you were that those little pussycats, Like, it's good old-fashioned fun.
It's a good burn.
Yeah, the Pussycats.
All my uncles are big Louisville fans, so it's always great for me now to go back and
you know
kind of smack talk them all week long.
Have you heard their latest comeback?
No, but I well, what is it?
When you throw your L's down, they say guns down.
I don't even get it.
Because Kentucky had players who didn't have guns get in trouble for quote unquote guns.
That was like 5 years ago. Sorry.
No. That was the spring thing. That's their retort for the spring, even though
most recently didn't like three of their players like shoot each other at the retreat or something.
Yeah, and they were
on accident.
That was on the injury report. It said gunshot wound.
When the ESPN graphic says players are out for a gunshot wound, you've already lost the gun jokes.
And that's the thing that really they're not very self-aware.
No, that is definitely the case for Louisville. The entire athletics department over there.
Man, and this is one of those weeks, no offense to you, Charles, but I really wish our good friend Jared Lorenzen was with us because we were having this conversation in the press box, Drew. Jared would not only be just loving the Louisville smack talk this week, Will Levis would be his favorite player ever.
He would be like T.O. crying, that's my quarterback, talking about Will Levis.
Especially with
– I think he would celebrate the interceptions knowing that it's like his kindred spirit.
he would. He exactly would. And then today Levis tweeted out – I don't know how he does this too either, Freddie. I know you're technologically savvy, so you can probably show me how you did it. But Will has changed all of the L's that he's using in Twitter to upside down L's to where the Wills in his name are now L's down. Looking forward to a great preparation. Excited to be a part of this rivalry. Let's go. And it's just every single one of those L's is upside down.
I love, Stoops talked today about how there's a lot of guys who don't really know this rivalry. They haven't been here long, didn't play the game last year. I wondered if he'd be one. Wandell, a lot of the young guys. But that tweet shortly after Stoops spoke kind of proved Levis. Levis already figured it out. He gets it.
Oh,
and I don't
man.
Think it'll take the others long.
No. I don't think it will take them very long at all. And not just for guys that are from Louisville, but if you don't have a bad taste in your mouth from like that losing streak and you want it – because that was the bigger point that Stoops made today too. Is he's like, the rivalry, yes, it does mean a lot. He's not going to downplay it whatsoever. But it's like, there's been five or six teams since 1949 that have won 9 games.
Yeah.
Like this is a big deal. A New Year's Day bowl game, like – there's a lot on the line. It's a lot more than just going out and beating the snot out of Louisville. You can check a lot of boxes with a win and really have a fantastic, phenomenal season by putting an exclamation point on this season.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot to play for. A Florida bowl game, which we all think is going to be the Outback.
Ready for some blooming onions.
Citrus. Yeah, and and a 9-win season, which, 5-4 since forever.
It was 5 since 49.
Yeah, since 1949. That was even before I was born, Charles.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's a lot to play for a team. I hate to keep going back to the minus 14 turnover ratio margin, but Kentucky's had to do a whole heck of a lot of good to overcome a whole heck of a lot of bad. The turnover margins, the front seven injuries,
the injuries,
the personnel issues that won't be fixed until 2022. Kentucky's had to do a lot of good to overcome a lot of bad.
Yeah.
And sitting at 8-3 right now, I think is that's a really good season in my opinion because it's virtually impossible to be 8-3 with a -14 turnover margin.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Kentucky's company in that graphic that they showed at, at the game.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Every team 1-9, 2-8, And there's Kentucky at 8-3. I don't know. I just think it's daggone miraculous, to be honest with you.
With all that to play for, and there's a lot of positive things on the line, if they do turn over again and somehow, hell freezes over and Louisville wins, that's kind of a season-defining loss.
Yep.
And the people that we think are complaining a little bit too much right now, I think you kind of got some good reason if the season finishes the way it did. If like I said, let's hope it doesn't get to that point. But if it does, that I can see why people would be disappointed in 8-4.
And to describe it as a season-defining game, I think we kind of did that ahead of the Tennessee one. But this is more like every other Kentucky season forever. And Jared used to bring that up all the time. It's like, if you didn't beat Louisville, it was hard. You weren't going to really have a good season because you weren't going to be have a winning record in SEC play. Now, at least Kentucky has checked that box off.
Yeah.
So you've at least reached 8 wins. But there's a lot on the line. There's a lot on the line Saturday. It's going to be an exciting day of football. Exciting night of football. Like you said, going to be cold out at Papa Murphy's Cardinal Stadium. I don't really recommend the Papa Murphy's pizza. It's not great.
Do you have to cook it at the stadium?
What's good That's in a good that question. Stadium? They what is good don't. In that stadium? Nothing.
Beer. But you might have to wait Beer's a long good. Time. They also, buyer beware, not every place just accepts cash either. Like, yeah. And what annoys me about it, too, is then they charge you tax, which just is like, you're going to charge me $8.11 instead of, like, it just annoys me. That place.
I have no interest in ever going to that place.
It's a fun place to drink beer on a Friday night.
I can name a lot of fun places that are
good to drink beer. Exactly. There's a ton of them.
Don't you all get beer in the press box? They like to party that much the reporters. Yeah. They want their drunk stories to go up
we'll
about the game.
Couple, we'll get a couple post-game beers. They have a carving table. They really treat their media well. And you can hardly tell.
Of course.
Am I right?
I mean, like, if the FBI were in my building all the time, I'd want all the people writing the stories to be happy. I am jealous you get media beers.
Yeah.
What year under Mitch Barnhart do you think media will get beer at Kroger Field? If he's here for 100 more years, how many years would it take for beer in the press box?
101.
That's probably true.
I think you might be right.
Yep. And I think we've got to talk about our friend Dan Mullen right after this. Well, folks, another – Wait, I didn't think I hit. Oh, I did hit.
I hope you're recording during the break. Could be a little Easter egg in there.
Uh-oh.
Another week, another coach looking for a new job. Dan Mullen, done at Florida. Freddie, I thought he was going to salvage his job by firing Todd Grantham, but then he couldn't beat Missouri in overtime.
Man, that's – if you would have told me that – this time last year, I would not have believed, but things fell apart quickly at Florida, and it has to go back to recruiting. While the Gators did well in the transfer portal, recruiting suffered, and that's the lifeblood of your program, and just did not do it defensively. You know, Grantham, high risk, high reward, and the risk outweighed the reward, and it came. Off the rails quickly in Gainesville, Drew. I've never seen anything like that. We did with McElwain, similar records.
Mm-hmm. But he had that picture of him with that shark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Florida wins the East last year and now fires your coach before the season's over with. So.
I think we can add this to Mark Stoops' body count. Even though it wasn't immediate, it started when they lost that one.
It got the conversation
at least being whispered a little bit around there.
The
Mark Stoops' body.
He's got a lot of them.
He does.
They're piling up.
Yeah.
The unemployment office should thank him for the business.
Dan also can blame himself for it, too, because nobody is better at shoving their foot in their mouth than that idiot.
Yeah.
My God, he can be just such a jerk.
Maybe Scott Satterfield with some of his interviews. I'd put him up there with Mullen and just, hey, nope, just don't say that.
What did you think of who I think is a big dork, Eli Drinkwitz, mocking him with the Darth Vader, though, after
beating
him?
Loved it.
I love a good troll job after you win, and I was pretty impressed that, you know, a guy that doesn't have a lot of personality pulled that off.
See, here's the thing with Drinkwitz that I think bugs me is because he actually does have some moments like that. He's just such a tryhard that it when he misses or when people think he hits, like, media, we're the easiest crowd ever. We'll laugh at any damn joke we say. Even Mark Stoops' jokes that aren't jokes. You know,
we gotta suck up.
Yeah. But like, it's always they're just like to like the most not funny things, and they all fall for Drinkwitz. The lightsaber was great, especially because I didn't realize that was the game that Mullen brought out the Darth Vader thing last year.
Yeah, just full on costume during a press conference.
And Drinkwitz got him back, sent him home with the lightsaber. I mean, he totally just got Qui-Gon Jinned right there. Just
oh, wow. Wow.
Right
now. Nerd alert.
Yeah. Oh, come on. Yeah. Big old nerd here.
No
but,
idea.
Yeah, what a terrible demise for – and quick demise for Dan Mullen.
Yeah.
Just such a likable guy.
Mm.
So,
all
yeah.
of his friends, both of them, are outside the campus right now protesting.
His wife's just kissing all the guys on the way out.
Kissing everybody. Never mind.
You know what, though? there's going to be some players at the University of Florida that are looking for a new home.
They will.
And if that new home is in Lexington, you know, I hear there's great dorms.
Great dorms. Yeah. We have a great transfer system. It's been going well.
Yeah.
Really like what we've done with the place.
Oh, man.
Speaking of, Eli Ricks is in the transfer.
Oh, man. If Eli Ricks came to Kentucky and played for 1 year and then got and became a second-round draft pick, I don't know anybody that was a cornerback at LSU that was a former four-star top 50 recruit and then went to Kentucky and then did that. Don't know anybody.
We should just
like
have
that.
An LSU house that they can all come live in.
Oh,
rotate.
We build them an apartment on top of Bourbon and Toulouse, so they can just.
There we go.
It's true.
They'll be right at home.
They'll feel at home.
Like they never left.
I'd love an apartment above Bourbon and Toulouse.
Me too.
CCI right there.
Well, we have Gumbo right down the street that I'm probably going to be getting when we're done here.
Didn't they? I thought they shut down.
Not yet. I'm supporting every day that I can.
Okay.
Tell you what I had the other
day. They're
shutting down? They're going down to one location.
Mm.
Oh, man. So they're closing that one. Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
The other one's nowhere near me, so I won't be getting it much. So really trying to support this one. Everyone support your local Gumbo Yaya.
I had pho the other day. You know, the, like, noodles, Japanese. Yeah. Pho.
Pho.
I believe it's pho.
Pho. What
did I say?
Vietnamese. But they spell it pho.
Yeah. Yeah. What did I say, pho?
It's pho. Like pho. It's the schwa sound.
Well, it was unbelievable. So I'm going to be getting that. And it used to be a chili guy. You know, just chili. It's cold chili. I guess I'm growing up.
Man, it's chili
26
Gillespie
years
season.
Old. It's See, definitely oh chili man, Gillespie.
I really
season.
Wanted chili Gillespie, but we have the turkey sandwich, the leftover turkey sandwich. Yeah. So I think I need to get some like Thanksgiving prep in.
Yeah, I've got pregame downstairs after this. Might have to do an in between.
No, you're hopping on the Canes. We already know that. You already said that.
You already ate twice, but I have to eat before Rupp Arena tonight. That other sport.
So you pregame your Thanksgiving by eating turkey? I'm the exact opposite. I don't get anywhere near anything I'm going to eat until Thursday.
Oh, no. Well, you've got Friendsgivings and stuff, right, that you've been to? Where you
well,
eat similar
yeah,
Thanksgiving
but
stuff?
I, yeah. I'm always a hater of those. It's like, I mean, I get
– Oh,
I'm,
they're great.
I get it.
You don't like your friends?
No, I
oh
do.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Charles hates
well,
his friends.
Well, half of my friends are Louisville fans.
Put that in the title. Charles Walker hates his friends.
Half of my friends are Louisville fans, so I just can't – I fair. Can't do it. I can't do it.
Fair yet. Enough. I do. I did used to not like Friendsgivings until now. I'm just like, oh, so I just get to eat another good meal and like drink wine. I'm like, oh
all right,
no.
Here's twist this is what I'll say. Why am I blanking on the? Oh, Secret Santa with your friends way better than Friendsgiving.
Oh no, disagree.
Yes. No, oh,
Secret Santas are the worst. You have to like, buy
no,
a gift.
They are the best.
You buy so many gifts for so many people. That's just one more gift.
Yeah, to one of your really close friends, and you can make it just something so great when you all open it together. It is like, I got you. And then you get to know who's going to get you. Marshawn Lynch, play that. Got, and getting got. Well, that's what I do. I'm going to get got, but I'm going to got more than I'm going to get got. So
like,
I'm a firm
giving,
believer in
are you,
that.
Are you giving out, like, whoopee cushions? Like, what?
Oh, way better than whoopee cushions. And it depends who my guy is.
Interesting. Last year, one of my friends, he did not want this Christmas gift, but he got a cameo from Christian Watford.
Oh,
see, that's genius.
Yeah, that was –
That's genius.
Yeah. And, like, it was just –
I'm going to give
I,
you
I
a cameo from
legend.
Dan Mullen. That's what I'm going to do. Dan Mullen cameo.
He needs the money.
He does.
I don't know. He's
actually probably doesn't need
extension.
The money. But
$80 million in buyouts among 14 coaches fired before the season's even ended.
It's a lot of money.
A lot of money.
I mean, so at the end of the day, are you really that upset? How old's Dan Mullen? 45?
49.
49.
He's only 49?
He gets, I just threw that number out.
Oh, yeah. He's got to be older. He was at Mississippi State for a decade, so.
Was he?
Yeah. He was there for a long time.
God. All right, so he's 55.
Dan Mullen is 49. Thank
49.
You.
49. Are
you
serious?
Thank
you.
Wow.
Thank you.
Oh
I want to thank
gosh.
Everyone for coming out. I really appreciate the support.
So you get fired,
day, everybody.
And they give you, what, $15 million over the next 3 years? Is that probably what it's somewhere around there?
Something like that.
I mean, God, it's almost like I dislike Dan Mullen, but maybe I want to be
respect
him.
Respect the
a
hustle.
Little bit.
So apparently the LSU coaching search is down to three now.
Who?
Bill O'Brien.
Billy Napier. Matt Campbell.
Yep.
And Dave Aranda.
So it'll probably be Napier, right?
I don't know.
Our good friend Adam Luckett had a Galaxy Brain idea. And that Galaxy Brain idea was that the Mark Stoops, Bill O'Brien scoopage that was let out was to push LSU boosters in the direction of Napier. Like, oh, y'all don't want Napier? Well, what about these guys over here? That'll make you want Napier some, right? I like that idea, that notion. Stoops, you know, he did the – yeah, it's just a distraction. I don't like any of that being out there. but I don't think he minds it being out there because it usually means that he's going to be compensated for it. Nevertheless, there's a ton of jobs out there. There's going to be a big ripple effect. And Florida, whoever they end up getting, I don't think I'm not very worried about Stoops whatsoever. But you'd like to see something like that be a, oh, no, kind of Tennessee disaster.
Yeah.
You want their fans to revolt.
I don't want Lane Kiffin there.
No, I don't
or
either.
Or someone that's going to fire up that program. We need them to kind of limp into this hire.
Yeah.
Really need that.
What about Bob Stoops? He's on the list.
Of course, he's on all of the lists. Actually, Bob does make sense there, though.
They'd get to play Mark every year, have a little brotherly showdown.
He was there previously.
He's making so much money to have fun now, though.
It's true.
Would he want to get back in that chaos?
So, the Dan Mullen is one of those classic cautionary tales on, while leave a good thing you got. I hope that Bob has belabored that point to Mark.
Definitely. Or maybe Bob will sign a big contract and then tank to help Mark continue to succeed in the SEC East.
It's like Bill Belichick.
It's like taking one for the team.
His former assistants to sabotage other teams. Mm-hmm. And then come back later on. Yeah, I would.
Just think about the jobs out there right now. USC, LSU, Florida.
Washington.
Virginia Tech.
Some big jobs.
That's the big ones.
This is not a year we would want to lose students.
One that concerns me that's open, Troy.
John Summerall?
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I don't know how interested he is. It just depends on how interested he is to get from the recruiting standpoint. Does he want to keep trying to fight the big dogs to get guys to come to Kentucky, or is he good with getting the middle dogs and trying to climb up as a head coach?
And he's just a year or two. Whatever Brad White does, he either slot into defensive coordinator or you go with him to your defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
So he's on the verge, if he wants any of that, to some bigger opportunities.
And Stoops did at least reward Summerall pretty quickly. He got that pay bump and that co-DC title pretty quickly. Yeah. So hopefully that's the case. But, man, that just kind of shows you where the coaching carousel is. It's crazy, but we don't need to worry about that for now. Right now, we're not worried about Mikhail Malik Cunningham, whatever his name is.
We're trying to get another coach fired.
If you've noticed, we haven't mentioned any other players' names on the Louisville football team because they don't have any players.
I don't think I can name
It is the Mikhail Cunningham show. He does everything for them. He's their leading rusher. He's their leading passer. Jordan Watkins is their leading receiver. If that tells you where their receiver room is, he's a fine receiver, but
former Kentucky commit,
best guy 2 years in, true sophomore. Like that's asking a lot. So
if you pulled out a gun right now and put it to my eyes and said, name a Louisville player that's not Cunningham or you're dead. I'm gone.
Oh, I got
I'm
one.
Gone. I'm out. Tell my family I love them.
Faget.
Fago. Yes.
I know that one.
Yeah. You know that one. They had Avery.
Jack.
Avery was really good for them.
CJ Avery.
But he got hurt.
What?
Yeah. That's right. But he's out for the year, I believe.
Marshawn Ford's a good tight end.
Yeah.
He was a walk-on, right?
It's
a good story.
You could be making these people up.
But he was a walk-on, and that's kind of – he's one of their better skill players.
All right, hey now, come on.
Abdullah is a good defender. A lot of havoc.
Sure.
Well, guess what?
14,
Rodriguez
15 tackles
run
for loss.
250 yards.
12 sacks, something like that.
Ooh.
Is James Quick still on the team?
I don't think so.
Did he play at Louisville?
Yeah. Him and Jason Hatcher were pals.
Trying to think of players.
Yeah.
Louisville players.
Ooh, what is okay, what's more likely to happen? Louisville scores 35 points or Kentucky gets a 50 burner.
The 50 burner is to win by 50 or to score 50?
Score 50.
I think
what is more likely?
I think that's kind of right where it is. I think the score is going to be
52 to 35.
Yeah.
Then you should be betting the over 56 points, 56 and a half, whatever it is, 57.
I think it's going to be 100 to 100 overtime. No, I don't.
I think the Cats roll. I can't stay up that late.
Even a better would you rather. Do you think Kentucky is more likely to get 600 yards or 700 yards?
I think they'll split the difference with 650.
Okay.
I'll take the push there.
If Kentucky wins the toss, do they take the ball or receive?
Oh, great question.
Sorry.
Receive. I think you receive.
Really?
Okay. I think you want to score first in this one.
Oh, let's play a different game that I'm making up on the spot.
Like
after Kentucky
I was definitely
wins,
not making up, yeah.
After Kentucky wins, which player on the team has the best L's down photograph? Because not who's just going to be the best. Very random. Bully. Some years, you know, it's a photographer just happens to catch someone. Who's going to be – I think Bully's the heavy favorite.
You know what I always love, though, when it's someone that, like, didn't ever play?
It's all right. Love
they have
moment.
Just a really hard picture that's floated everywhere.
Talk your trash.
I could see Smoke just being very aggressive.
Yeah.
Very
with the helmet off, he's always got a fresh lineup.
Uh-huh. Very aggressive.
I don't know. Let
I see Kennard maybe with a UK flag at some point after the game.
Definitely.
He's not a big Louisville fan, I've heard.
He's going to have a large chain on when he does it, too, which just really adds some authority
to it. I hope he has just a big skull hanging from it.
Man.
He's terrifying.
All right, yeah, Freddie, my actual question for you, though, Freddie, more likely a Kentucky blowout or a Louisville win? And a blowout is a three-score win, so more than 10 or 14 points.
More likely?
Yeah.
A Louisville win or a Kentucky win by
14 plus.
Man, that's a tough question.
Yeah, because I think that's kind of where we're at right now. It's Louisville is either going to play their best game of the year and Kentucky's going to turn it over and they're going to win, or Kentucky's going to boat race it.
Yeah.
I think that's how the game is.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're right.
And a lot of it comes down to what Stoop said. If you notice when Kentucky's played ACC teams in the past, they've just beat the shit out of them. Like, language. Straight bullied. Like, we're going to fight you, and we're going to beat you up, and we're going to shove you in a locker. That game against NC State last year was not a good football game, and Kentucky just bullied them for four quarters. Like, they didn't play good football, but they just physically outmanned them. And part of what Stoops talked about is we haven't played nearly as physical as we should have, and we got to get back to that against this Louisville team. If they can get back to that physical brand of football, I think that Louisville doesn't stand a chance.
I think the one – stat line that's going to stick out the most is turnovers. I mean, you cannot give Malik Cunningham additional possessions.
Mm-hmm.
The best way to beat Louisville is to keep him and that offense on the sideline. That's to possess the football, don't turn it over, and score in the red zone. Louisville has not been that efficient scoring touchdowns in the red zone.
No.
And on third down. That's the two weaknesses of that offense. So early success on first down, strong on third for the Kentucky defense.
Which is
bend, don't break in the red zone. Louisville's only scoring touchdowns. Let's see, I had that number somewhere. 66% of their trips in the red zone are touchdowns.
And so, you know what? Those are like all the stats you've mentioned between those two, Bowling second half leads and one score losses, because I think there's something like six and – it's not Scott Frost bad in one score losses, but – they're all reflection of poor coaching.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that Liam Cohen, if you look at Kentucky, the most dramatic numbers that he's injected life into, it's the red zone touchdown percentage and it's third down percentage.
Do y'all mind if I give you a few numbers?
Please.
We would love a few numbers.
From that last year to this year. Now caveat is Kentucky played an all SEC schedule.
Yeah.
And North Carolina State. So in 11 games.
Right.
Kentucky is averaging 11 more points per game than last year.
That's good.
Down 4 yards rushing, an additional 110 passing yards per game, 106 total yards per game. Third down efficiency has been raised 15%.
Man, that's great. That's passing the football.
Yes.
Having the ability to throw the football.
Let's go to the defensive side. Sacks, Kentucky has 13 more sacks than it did this time last year, and 16 more tackles for loss.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
I like those numbers, Freddie. Thanks for sharing those.
You're welcome.
I got some numbers.
Yeah?
There is a 1,000% chance Wandale Robinson gets 6 catches at Louisville.
Yes.
You take that to the bank.
Oh, man.
I've got one more that's really going to be telling.
Yeah?
Kentucky has scored 21 more touchdowns in a red zone this year than last year.
Wow.
21.
You think about some of the missed opportunities, too. That number could be even higher.
11 touchdowns in the red zone last year. This year, 32.
Man, and they did kick the 2 field goals in Vandy when they were kind of playing with their food a little bit.
Got some fumbles.
Yeah, 3 inside the 5. So, wow, that's impressive.
Yeah.
That's why I think, like, especially when you lay it out, like, we knew that – is Louisville better than they have been?
Yes.
But they still aren't close. They were 70 points worse over the last 2 times out. And Lynn Bowden, he could just fart and they'd fall over in that game. I mean, that's the part that just kills me with all of this, is that, yes, Louisville is a little bit better, but Kentucky is still the superior team. And they're going to prove that Saturday in the Governor's Cup. And I cannot wait to watch the Cats kick the Cards ass at Papa Murphy's Cardinal Center.
I never played against Louisville, so I don't get into all the Louisville hate stuff. So I of the four, it's safe to say that I can take a step back and analyze the game
better
more
than,
objectively.
Yeah,
I can't do that. I'm not capable of that.
Yeah.
I don't.
So Kentucky fans, or Kentucky, is worried about Malik Cunningham, mm-hmm. as they should be.
Yeah.
I'm Louisville folks are concerned about Will Levis, as they should be. Those two could cross each other out. Then you go to the next, what Kentucky does best next, Chris Rodriguez Jr.
Yeah.
Louisville does not have a Chris Rodriguez Jr.
Nope.
Then you go, okay, let's go after
Darren
that.
Darren Kennard.
Offensive line, Luke Fortner, Darren Kennard. Louisville does not have that.
I mean, they got Bentley, but.
Bentley's not Luke Fortner.
No.
And he's a good player, though.
Yeah.
Then you go to the receiver position. Wandale Robinson is the best receiver on the field.
That not even close.
Right? So, objectively, you take a step back and look at this. Both teams should be concerned about the quarterback position.
Mm-hmm.
But Kentucky has a more around Will Levis than Louisville has around Cunningham. But Cunningham can hurt you badly.
Yep.
I mean, he can hurt you in a hurry. So, that is something that Kentucky has to account for.
And I think the one thing that you have to mention, too, when you talk about the defense versus Cunningham, is that Kentucky's defense has been getting after quarterbacks, especially in recent weeks. I think it's about 5 or 6 sacks in the last per game, the last 3.
Yeah, and if you look at the defenses, I mean, Louisville's given up 398. Kentucky's given up 336. Louisville's probably played against some better offenses as far as more – quarterbacks
production.
that are really, you know, they played Wake Forest, that's a good one. Played Pitt, that's a good one. Clemson, DJ is struggling, but he's still okay, you know. But Louisville gives up 260 yards passing a game, 7 yards per attempt. That's a lot. So
yeah,
let this thing play out. Let these two teams kick it up, and let the best team win.
It's gonna be fun.
I have one more concern he didn't address, and mine isn't as much personnel, but I'm just worried, like, kind of the taxes I'll have to pay on the money line and then also that over 27.
Yeah.
I just feel like that income that is guaranteed, all the paperwork that's going to have to go with that, just such a lock.
It really is.
Yeah, you might want to hit up your accountant.
Okay,
I will. Your accountant beforehand.
And my dentist. I'll hit him up too.
Yeah, Justice Dental, mybookie.ag. We appreciate them both all for sponsoring this wonderful podcast. We appreciate y'all listening to us all season long. And we really appreciate watching Kentucky just beat Louisville and their stupid Cardinal birth teeth in.
Happy Thanksgiving.
That too, but mostly what Nick said.
Yeah, mostly what
we're thankful for that.
Thankful for a Kentucky win this Saturday in the Governor's Cup. We'll see y'all next week here on the KSR Football Podcast. Go Cats, go Kroger.
And peep the technique. But don't sweat the technique.